Willing to Go Ham podcast, coming at you guys live from Mikasa on this wonderful, wonderful Sunday. So a lot of people, I've been getting a lot of mail, mailbag questions in regards to the Philadelphia Eagles and how I feel about that. And I feel like shit, but the good news is the season's over, right? They weren't going to go much farther anyway, so I'll answer that question on the next segment that I do, because I'm sure everybody wants to hear about what I think, or if you guys are avid listeners, everyone wants to hear about my thoughts on the playoffs thus far. Now, I wasn't on air, and I didn't do a score prediction, but I did have it slated as I'm looking right here. Just took a couple notes when I looked at some of these games from yesterday, and I made the notes, I think, last week after it was all slated, to where you had Baltimore against Houston and Green Bay against San Francisco. And all the analysts were saying, they were like, well, so we'll go to, we'll talk about Baltimore and Houston first. When I looked at that game, and I had Baltimore winning that game, I think what it came down to was, I took pregame notes, and then I took some postgame notes as well, and took them on my phone. This is what I put in my phone here. I put, before the game, I put down that Houston, and it's not really advantages, but I said that Houston is playing with house money, okay? There really is no pressure on Houston to win the game. They can play a little more freely. Even though they're playing on the road, I think CJ Stroud is a dog no matter where he goes. Like, I think that what they've managed to put together in Houston offensively with guys who are young, you know, I think that the difference in the game would have been having Tank Dell. If he wasn't out for the season, I think that the game would have been much closer, and or they possibly could have won. Although I like Nico Collins, you know, Brevin Jordan, they have Dalton Schultz. The offensive line is still pretty good. To me, I feel like they needed a much better run game. That's what I think that they needed. Devin Singletary, to me, is a nice complimentary back, you know, receiver out of the backfield, you know, guys you can send on a flare route. And defensively, I put down pregame or before the game that they play with heart, but the personnel on the front seven, to me, might not be enough. And I look at the game, the post game, or I look at the game during the game and things like that. And most of what I said was, it was accurate. Houston was able to move the ball. They can move the ball pretty much up and down the field. Now, I didn't account for the special teams scoring. I did not account for that at all, but they did. And that was pretty much all she wrote at that moment, you know. I think that the game, although the game was about Baltimore winning, I think that this game really came down to Houston being able to hang for about a quarter and a half. And then Baltimore was just able to take over. I mean, they were tough, you know. When I look at the stats here, I mean, and again, I think that a run game would have helped them a lot, especially in the play action. But you look at the stats, and CJ Stroud was 19 of 33, 175 yards. They just, you know, they, and Baltimore came alive in the second half. So Devin Singletary, 9 carries, 22 yards, 2.4 yards a carry. I mean, what happened? What's that guy's name? What's that dude's name? What happened to Damon Pierce? That's what I want to know. What happened to that dude, man? And again, and look at this. Devin Singletary, five receptions for 48 yards. Like, that's what I think he's best at. Getting him in space and just allowing him to work. But that's, yeah, man. That was tough. Now for Baltimore, I think that they played a much more physical brand of football. Not exactly Lamar's best game, but what I like about quarterbacks in situations like this is that you do more help for your team when you're not turning the ball over. And CJ Stroud and Lamar, neither one of them turned the ball over. They played pretty much mistake-free football, although Houston had costly penalties. That much I will say. That killed a lot of the momentum that they had. But back onto the Ravens, I think, you know, Lamar Jackson being 16 of 22, two TDs, 100 yards rushing. He was, in fact, the offense, and I think this year he's going to win the MVP again. I mean, he should win the MVP. He has to. The weapons around him really didn't play all that well. And I think maybe that may have been due to the game plan. You know, I mean, Zay Flowers, 4 receptions for 41 yards. Rashad Bateman, 3 for 39. Isaiah Likely, 2 for 34 and a touchdown. Nelson Aguilar, which is so wild to me that he had 2 receptions for 12 yards and a touchdown. I'm surprised he even caught the damn ball. And Odell was 1 reception for 12 yards. So, you know, I won't say that. Okay, I will say personnel-wise, Houston was severely overmatched. But when it came to heart, they matched Baltimore, if that makes sense. And the score doesn't reflect that. I just think that Houston is a team that's on the come up, and they're going to be good going forward. And I love D'Amico Ryans as a head coach, man. Like, we're talking about a guy who can, you know, as a coach, and unlike the Eagles, right, he can squeeze as much talent out of the players and has them believe, you know, they believe that they can win. And when they believe that they can win, like, dude, it's unreal. You know, it's unreal that they can do that. So they got a bright future. But Baltimore, you know, they go on to the next round. And I believe they said Baltimore has never hosted an AFC championship game. I believe that's what they said. And if I'm not mistaken, because their Super Bowl run back in 2011, 2012, they were on the road. I think they were the 5th seed. I want to say the 5th seed or like a lower seed, 4th maybe. But I remember they beat the Broncos. They beat, was it the Colts? No. I think it was the, yeah, you know what it was? It was they beat the Broncos. No. They beat the Patriots. Then they beat the Broncos. And then I think they beat the Chargers, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, so first time for them. I'm sure that AT&T Stadium is going to be rocking. Or is it, what's the stadium called again? I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head. But M&T Bank Stadium. It's going to be rocking. It's going to be lit. Next game, you got the Packers and Niners. I was told, you know, that and it was funny because they said, somebody told me the other day that, or before the game, with them being -9.5, that's what San Francisco was, right? And I looked at that, I'm like, nah. Because what I learned is that although San Francisco, they play defense, they play great defense, even and it's at home, the story really wasn't so much about Brock Purdy in rallying them back. The story was about how Jordan Love was able to torch the defense, like the secondary. They were getting killed, and how they really didn't apply a lot of pressure to Jordan Love. So they played them tough all game. Like, that game could have went anywhere, man, but that it really costed them after that costly turnover. That when Jordan Love threw that pick, and I was like, dude, you got it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not Aaron Rodgers, man. And that's not an indictment against him as a player, but he was doing so well, and he was doing so well, and just got away from what the offense was giving him. I think that's what it was. I think that he tried to play a little bit of hero ball on that last drive, and it costed him. So, you know, which sucks, man, because, dude, if there was going to be any year that the Philadelphia Eagles were going to go to the Super Bowl, it would have been this year, because teams aren't as established and it's wide open. Now you have these teams that can build on the momentum that they have or that they've had this year and carry it on into next year. So now you're going to have a Green Bay that made it to the divisional round, and they can build on what they have, and they know they got something in Jordan Love, which is just infuriating, to say the least. And, of course, you got to give credit where credit is due, man. I hate the Niners. I hate them. But you know what, though? You know, when the Eagles clowned their ass last year in the NFC Championship game, they made it. They circled that game specifically. And then this year against the Philadelphia Eagles, and they whooped their ass, man. They whooped their ass. Okay, I cannot say that enough. Whooped their ass. And Philadelphia cowered up, man. And I think that's an indictment on the head coach. On the head coach, the players, they thought shit was sweet. They got punched in the mouth over and over and over again. So, you know, I'm not the biggest Brock Purdy fan. I'm not the biggest Nick Bosa fan. Not the biggest Debo fan. None of them. I can't stand them. But they stood on business, man. And they're going to the NFC Championship game. And it's not Philadelphia. So, especially with that roster. Speaking of Philadelphia, you know, I'm going to try to make this as short and sweet as possible. You know, because the issue with Philadelphia this season has been a trickle effect, I would say, for the past decade or so. Because to me, I feel like Philadelphia doesn't, and just we're talking, and they're going to have to fix a lot of things. There's going to be a lot to fix, including the head coach. Whether or not he stays, he's got to be fixed. And their draft, number one, they got to change their draft philosophy. They're going to have to do that, because you look at the teams that are left and that are going to the NFC Championship game, those teams have good linebackers. Philadelphia, this is what they do. They pride themselves in the trenches, which is fine, which is very important on both sides of the football. But what they do is they draft in the trenches. They draft corners, but not until later rounds. They draft running backs in later rounds, which you can do that. You know, you can do that. It's the, you know, you get them cheap, young, they're productive, but they also don't value linebackers. They don't value linebackers. What I've noticed is they'll draft in the trenches and they'll pick up like a free agent, cheap free agent linebacker, or they'll take an undrafted linebacker. And this is crazy. Take an undrafted linebacker or a guy like in the later round, develop him, turn him into a stud, and then they don't pay him. Makes no sense. That's what they do, though. They did that last year with TJ Edwards, you know, him being a full-time starter, leading the team in tackles, and then they signed a free agent linebacker in Kaiser White. Both of them were studs. Both of them should still be in Philadelphia, but they're not. So what they did this year was they drafted in the trenches, and they had a bunch of, I mean, you had a guy in N'Kobe Dean who was supposed to be the guy that they drafted in the third round, but he was hurt. He gets hurt. He's out for the season. He's on IR, comes back, and he's on IR again. And then they took a couple guys that were cast-offs, Nicholas Morrow coming from Chicago, right? And then they had Zach Cunningham, a cast-off from Tennessee, who played pretty decent this year. I'll say that. He played pretty well. I'm not gonna shit on Zach Cunningham. I thought he played pretty consistent. And then they pick up Darius Leonard or Shaq Leonard, a Pro Bowl linebacker, all-pro linebacker who just fell face first into the ground, and he's a shell of himself, you know. And maybe he needs an offseason to get right, you know. Maybe that could be it. That's what I think that could be. But nonetheless, they don't value linebackers. They don't value safeties. They don't pick up safeties in the first round. You know, other teams do that, i.e. Kyle Hamilton, where's he at? Oh, wait, he's in Baltimore, right? And he's going to the AFC Championship game. Wild. Then it also comes down to other personnel issues as well, and coaching philosophies. And coaching. That's the other problem. So now they're talking about, you know, they're coming up with a plan to get Nick Sirianni to stay, or to find a reason for them to want to keep him so he can keep his job. So they're probably going to give him an experienced coordinator. You know, he's not a good head coach. I'm figuring this out now. And, you know, I got Chiefs fans, you know, talking about how, well, ever since that game against Kansas City where he was taunting the fans, and, you know, now he's 2-6, you know, after that game. Well, that's true, but him being 2-6 has nothing to do with Kansas City. These issues that have been just rearing their ugly head, it's been like that all season. It's just that he got exposed after that Bills game. after the Niners game, you know, and then the loss to Dallas, and they basically just quit. So do I want Nick Sirianni gone? Yes, I do. But if they keep him, I hope they surround him with competent coordinators. And I saw that they're talking about Jim Bob Cooter, which is a hilarious name. Jim Bob Cooter might be the Eagles offensive coordinator. He was actually with the Eagles back in he was on the staff for something. I can't remember, but he's the offensive coordinator for Indianapolis. And now they're looking to pursue him. What I want Ron Rivera and Eric Bieniemy. That's who I want. I want those guys. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't know. I don't even know if anybody really wants Ron Rivera as a head coach. I'm sorry. Like, he's just a coordinator at this point. He had a shot in Carolina, you know, had a resurrection in Washington. And I don't think they've ever won the NFC East. They've never won the NFC East. So it's time for him to just be a coordinator. I think he'd be a good coordinator. And Bieniemy, look at what he's turned Sam Howell into with a lack of personnel, and he got the most out of Sam Howell. Bro, it's perfect. And he can hold the players accountable. So I say, why not? Why not get those guys? Today's games, we'll talk about those. You have Detroit playing at home against Tampa Bay. I think this is going to be a matchup nightmare for Detroit. Tampa Bay's defense is for real. They're healthy. They play good together. Todd Bowles can dial up the blitz. And if you get Jared Goff, you know, he's going to want to get rid of the ball before you hit him. You know, that's just how he plays. He's going to want to get rid of the ball before you hit him. And when you do that, they're going to fold. So I'm going to take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to beat the Detroit Lions. I could be wrong, though. You know, we'll see. But I think they're going to beat them. That's going to be my upset. Buffalo Bills at home against Kansas City. You know, Buffalo's banged up. Kansas City is bringing back players that didn't play last game. But I'm curious to see if Buffalo's going to commit to running the football. Ty Johnson, you know, you got what's his name? You got Ty Johnson and it's not Dalvin, James Cook. I'm tripping. You got him, you know. There's no Gabe Davis. You know, are they gonna run the football just a little bit more? Just a tad, just a wee bit more. Kansas City, you know, they're probably going to take advantage of this damaged defense. They're going to run the football with Pacheco, and the defense is elite. These guys are for real, man. Like, that's a hell of a unit. So, but you can run the football on Kansas City. That you can do. So, for the sake of narrative, I would like to see Josh Allen come out on top. Not because I'm trolling, but I need him to come out on top because if he doesn't, this is now or never. This is gonna dead all talks about this rivalry with Kansas City and Buffalo. And I think it can become a great rivalry, but it's been so one-sided in the postseason where the games really do matter. You can resurrect the talks about this being a rivalry. Think about it. Got his ass whooped in, got his ass whooped in the AFC Championship game. Got beat in the divisional round. The 13 seconds, the starting of that stupid-ass saying about Mahomes being the Grim Reaper and all this other dumb shit that the fans keep talking about. Yeah, like, you can dead that tonight, bro. So I need the rivalry to keep going. Because once this happens, it's going to be irrelevant. And Kansas City plays Buffalo again next year. So, you know, I gotta see Josh Allen pull through. So I'm going to pick, I'll say Buffalo 34. No, I'll say Buffalo 28. Kansas City 24. Some weird score like that.